Cecile told me before the meeting, she said, we're going to do things slightly different today. I might just call on you early. Even though I knew it, I was still surprised. Before I share what I want to share, I feel God has led on my heart to speak this morning. I want to tell you about something that happened to me on Friday night. On Friday night, I was having a WhatsApp prayer meeting with a friend of mine. We meet once a week on WhatsApp, and we pray together. And he was sharing with me that he had had a chap in his church who was the leader of a healing rooms. And he had been sharing in the church about some of the things that had happened in the healing rooms, the miracles of God. And he said he was in the healing room one night, and this group of people brought this old gentleman into the healing room. Now, this older gentleman was very, very, very thin. Very thin indeed. And his skin was purple and green. And his eyes were brown, bloodshot red. And basically, they had brought him, had come to pray with him and to mourn with him because he was going to die basically any minute. He was on the point of death and they'd come to mourn him. So the chap turned around and he said to the mourners, he said, I want you to leave. And they left. They left and left this old gentleman with them. And Chuck turned around and he said, Lord, how do you want me to pray with this man? Look at him. He's on the point of death. How do you want me to pray, Lord? I'm just not going to, do a little in the name of Jesus, lay hands on him type of thing. He said, how do you want me to pray for him? So the Holy Spirit says to him, I want you to laugh. You want me to what, Lord? He said, I want you to laugh. Lord, if you ask what you want me to do, ask what I'm going to do. So he started to laugh. And he began to laugh and laugh and laugh. And the Holy Spirit, like he does, those of us who've experienced it, when the Holy Spirit takes over, you begin to laugh in the Holy Spirit. And it's just, he began to really begin to laugh and laugh out loud. And suddenly this old man begins to laugh as well. And he starts to laugh. And the both of them there are laughing away. And right before their eyes, his skin begins to change color and becomes normal. And his eyes become clear. And his whole body begins to be strengthened again. This guy had fourth stage cancer. Stage 4 cancer. And God healed him like that. But do you know what was the secret behind that? If there is a secret, there's no secret what God can do, says the old hymn, all right? But the thing was, Chuck was obedient to what the Holy Spirit had told him to do. And you know, God has already spoken to us about this is going to be a place of healing. There's going to be an anointing for healing in this place. Now, when we begin to see that anointing, we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. It's not just going to be the ordinary things we've seen time after time after time after time, year after year. It's going to be out of the ordinary. It's going to be supernatural, but we've got to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Because the thing is, when we listen to God, things begin to happen. And things are going to happen in this place as we become obedient to the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And no matter how crazy it might seem, you know, Jesus, when he did a number of his healings, he didn't just, be healed. There was one guy who was blind, and Jesus spat in the mud and the dust and made some mud out of his spittle and put it on the man's hands, eyes. And he said, "Now go and wash in the pool." And what did the guy do? He went and washed. And what did happen? He was healed. He received his sight. See, Jesus didn't just, he listened to what I see. He said, "I only do those things the Father tells me." Now, brothers and sisters, we've got to learn. We really have got to learn. I've been doing it for 50 odd years. I've been trying to learn to do only those things the Father tells me. About 4 or 5 years ago, I'm a part of the leadership of a Christian sort of education consultancy, and I've had the privilege of, in God, to travel many countries in the world. Teaching people how to teach from a biblical perspective, how to teach children in school about God. And we have contacts in Korea, in India, numbers of countries in Africa. We have contacts in Eastern Europe and many countries in Europe. We have our international team of leaders, and we meet in different places over the years. But about, I think it was about five years ago, we were together as an international team. And God said to me prophetically, "I am going to open up a door for you in South America." Oh, God, help me, please, to glorify you. And this week, you know, was 4 or 5 years ago? But this week we got an invitation from the education minister in Paraguay to come in September and to teach the Paraguayan government about our Christian ethos in Christian education. God is opening the doors of South America for us. But the thing was, brothers and sisters, God said it prophetically 5 years ago. And we had to wait. And suddenly out of the blue, this week, we had the invitation to go in September. I don't know whether I can go or not, but I would love to go, because I want to prophesy to the ministers of the Republic of Paraguay. I want to tell them about God and what God can do in their children's lives. Now, that's got nothing to do with what I got to preach this morning, but I just want you to know that what God has said to us prophetically here, you can believe. You can believe the prophetic word. Judge it. Yes, the Bible says judge it. The Bible says hold it and make sure it's of God. Yes, do that. But when you know it's of God, you know it's going to happen. Because God speaks. God's word is just prophetic after prophetic after prophetic after prophetic, telling about the coming of Jesus, telling about what was going to happen to him, telling how he was going to rise again from the dead, and it tells us about how he's coming again. And do we believe it? Yeah, hallelujah. We've got to learn how to trust God's word, whether it's this written word or whether it's his prophetic word. We've got to learn to trust it and believe it and to move out in it and see it come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's turn to Mark 13. I don't know whether that was. Oh, good. I'll read it off here. It's easier because I can't see. I've got blind in one eye. Right. Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of the wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen." Yeah, we heard about a war, possibility of a war last night. Did you hear about the attack on Israel by Iran? Talk about wars and rumors of wars. And now everybody's panicking. Biden's panicking. Rishi Sunak's panicking. Everybody's panicking in case it all starts off. It all kicks off. Jesus told us about it years ago. Such things must happen. Right? When we see them happening, remember Jesus said about it, talked about it. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. Jenny and Hilda and I were at home one night watching the news. And on the news came the news about the earthquake in Taiwan. You remember that? Several weeks ago. Earthquake in Taiwan. And we watched the news and listened to it. And that, when it finished, I got up and I walked out. I wanted to go out to the kitchen, I think it was to cook lunch or something. And I said to Jenny and to Hilda, "Do you know what? The next earthquake will be in America. The next earthquake will be in America. Because God wants to warn America that she's got to be careful about her stance over Israel. And God's going to speak to America by earthquake." A couple of days later, we were sitting watching the news. What was there? An earthquake just out in New York. See, God was speaking and is speaking to America. A few days later, did you see the eclipse on the television? Where did it go? Where was its track? Right across North America. God is speaking. God speaks through the heavens. God speaks through the sun and the moon and the stars. God speaks through earthquakes. God wants us to know to take notice of what he's saying. He warns us. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. The world is full of famine. And Jesus warned us of it years ago. These are the beginning of birth pains. Do you know, when a woman, I remember my wife having our children, you know. Ooh, ladies, birth pains, you know. I felt for her. I thought, I'm glad that women have children because this man had never coped with it. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. You know, what we've had over the last few weeks started was a new Scottish law. Have you seen that? Scottish law against hatred. Now, I'm against hatred. Well, no two ways about that. But I want you to be careful, because you can see how that even the law can be used. Even the law can be used to shut off the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that there was a, I don't know whether I said this before, but I'll say it again anyway. There was a story of a young Jewish boy, young Jewish man taken into hospital down somewhere down in London a few weeks ago. And some of the nurses had found out he was a little Jewish. And they made him sit on the floor and they treated him appallingly. Two nurses treated this young Jewish boy appallingly because he was Jewish. And these nurses were wearing "We Support Palestine" badges. Now, I'm not getting into the politics of Palestine and Israel or anything like that tonight. What I'm saying is, it wasn't so very long ago, a couple of years ago, when a Christian nurse wasn't allowed to wear her crucifix. But yet these nurses could wear badges supporting Palestine against God's people in Israel. See how easy it is when you can take things out of context. And these laws in Scotland, I tell you, this law in Scotland is going in the way of all flesh because people are not going to put up with it. But do you see how it is? You're going to be brought before synagogues. Now, I believe God would say to us this morning, and I felt God really stir this in my heart. Be careful what you say, but don't be afraid of what you say. Right? Be careful. Because you've got to be careful in this day of woke and political correctness and all the rest of it. You know, it's anti-Christ, I believe, with all my heart. It's a means of an end to stopping the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. Because that's the ultimate aim of the enemy. The ultimate aim of the enemy of our souls, of the devil himself, is to stop the gospel being preached. Because Jesus' whole aim, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the reason Jesus came, to save sinners. And everything the enemy would want to do was to stop that, to prevent that. But God has already told us that he will give us fruit in this place. It will not be stopped. Because God has given us. Don't be afraid of what you say. Be careful, but not fearful. Do you know, one of the things that I heard on the news a few days ago was the last 18 months have been the wettest on record for rain. We're really in problems with farmers and everything else. There's going to be a shortage of food, etc., in this country. And God reminded me of a phrase, the natural before the spiritual. If there's been rain, natural rain, poured out in this nation of ours, I believe it's a foretaste of the spiritual rain that's going to come upon this nation of ours. And I believe God is going to bring rain upon the earth. There's a verse in, and some of these verses I didn't give to the people to put up on the thing because I only thought about them afterwards. In Deuteronomy 11, in verse 13. And it says, "So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord." We've been talking about the love of God, love being the key, haven't we, over the last 6 weeks or so, 7 weeks or so? And we've been talking about the love of God and how it is the key to unlocking so much. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains. That's the former and the latter rains in the older versions. So that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. You know, I read those verses, and as I read them, I began to see that God began to say, we've had the former rain, but now we can expect the latter rain. Brothers and sisters, listen to the sound and listen for the sound of the coming rain of God in these days. That's what the prophetic is saying to you this morning. Listen for the coming of the rain. And when you love God with all your heart and all your strength and all your soul, and you're beginning to give, we're beginning to give ourselves to him, we begin to see the corn. We'll begin to see the harvest. That's what it's speaking to us about here. You'll see the corn. We begin to see the harvest. We'll see people come through these doors and giving their lives to Christ. Oh, praise God that we see more and more and more of that. We will see the corn when we see the latter rain. Hallelujah. Oh, shanadiya boriyanda. We will see the wine. Hallelujah. When people are born again and people give themselves to Christ, there's joy in the house. You want to see joy in the house when we begin to see the harvest begin to be reaped and gathered in. There will be joy in the house. There'll be wine in the house. Believe it. We will see it. And there will be oil. Oh, we'll see even more and more of the Spirit of God being poured out upon us. You know, there's some verses over in, let's see if I can find it. I waited upon God. God began to speak to me about Elijah. 1 Kings 18, and God should come up on the thing, maybe. There it goes. Here we go. 1 Kings 18. And it says, so Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. And Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? You know, even as Christians, we sometimes waver between two opinions, whether we really want to see what God can really do or whether we don't. Do you really want to see what God can really do? Our God is an awesome God. And he rules and he reigns. He's an awesome God. But you know, we halt between two opinions. Do we really want to see what God can really do? Or are we not prepared to pay the cost of seeing what God can really do? Because he says, the people said nothing. The people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you can call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull, gave them and prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, they'll answer us, they shouted, but there was no response, no one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. And at noon, Elijah begins to take the mick. Yeah, us prophets can take the mick, you know. Began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. One of the versions I laughed at when I read it said, maybe he's gone to the bathroom. So they shouted loud and slashed themselves with swords and spears as their custom till their blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying till the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. He repaired the altar of the Lord. He repaired the altar of the Lord. We repaired the altar of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, whatever is lacking, whatever is broken down, whatever is not being not of God in this, we need to repair the altar of the Lord. We need to worship Him. We need to praise Him. We need to glorify Him. We need to bring our sacrifices of praise, our sacrifices and offerings to Him. Repair the altar of the Lord. Shalabodia Sandagaria. Lord, help us. For the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold two seers of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it again. A third time, and the water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, I want you to take hold of that, brothers and sisters. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel. And that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them. Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valleys and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, go, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servants reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Do you know, in the story of Elijah, there are set phases. In the story of Elijah. First of all, he says, there will be no rain except at my word. There's a drought, in other words. And you know, this nation of ours has known drought in past years. But you know, then God began to answer by fire. And God began to pour out his Spirit upon this nation, upon the nations of the world. For where there is a drought, where there is no rain, but God says that I will send fire upon the sacrifice. And after the fire, what came? Elijah says, Ahab, you better get in your chariot, son, because the rain's on the way. The rain's on the way. And I want to say to you this morning, prophetically, brothers and sisters, the rain is on the way. The rain is on the way. And when it begins to pour, and when it begins to really pour out upon us, what was the thing that happened after Elijah? Elijah, it's not going to rain. Look, until I say so, man of God, the prophet, it's not going to rain until I say so. It doesn't rain. Let the fire fall, Lord, and the fire comes down and consumes the offering. And then he says to Ahab, it's going to rain, so you better start running. So he prays. And out of the comes a cloud the size of a man's hand, but soon the sky turns black and it begins to bucket it down. Because Elijah says, this is the powerful Elijah, man of God. What's his next, as it were, touch of God? He becomes afraid of a woman. He becomes afraid of Jezebel. Do you know, when God begins to pour out his rain upon us, brothers and sisters, when he begins to pour out the fire of God upon us, when we begin to see the miracles of God, when we begin to see the signs and wonders happen that God that follows the preaching of God's word, you will see the thing that will begin to happen. Fear. Do you know what? God has already spoken to us in this fellowship about fear. And he's already spoken to us not to be fearful. I remember over the last few years, God has spoken again and again. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And time and again he tells us, because you know what will happen is, that when we begin to see the power of God move and manifest among us, we will begin to see the opposition. I tell you, you will see we will see the opposition. People will flow to see the miracles. People will flow and be saved. People will come to see what's going on. As I said, if nothing else, God sets us on fire, people come out to watch us burn. But you know, there'll also be all strong opposition, because the enemy doesn't like what God is doing among his people and what God will do among his people. And I just want... There's a story over in, we won't actually read Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is the story of Paul and Silas. And God took me to that as I was preparing, because he wanted to say something to us about it. You remember Paul and Silas are walking backwards and forwards every day. And as they're walking backwards and forwards every day, there's this girl who's got a demon. And she's got a demon to tell fortunes. And every time the guys were walking to their meeting, this girl was shouted after them, "These men are men of the servants of the Most High God. They're going to show you the way of salvation." And every day she would shout after them, "These are the men of the servants of the Most High God. You must listen to them. They're going to tell you, show you how to be saved." Until eventually Paul gets slightly cheesed off with this. I don't know whether he's, you know, what caused it to be him to be cheesed off. But he turns round to the girl and he says, and he speaks to the demon in her, and he says, "Come out of her. Come out of her and let her go." And she's set free. And the people who she belonged to realized that they had lost their living, their money, because Paul had set her free from the demonic. Now, brothers and sisters, when we begin to set people free from the demonic, and we will begin to see people set free from the demonic. And when we do, there will be ructions, because not everybody believes in the demonic. But we do. Why? I believe because this book tells me so. And Paul and Silas get arrested and put in jail. Now, do you want to set people free from the demonic with the possibility that you might end up in jail? There was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. You see, you've got to be prepared if you're going to be used by God and you're going to listen to Him. And you're going to ask Him, "Lord, what do you want to do in this situation?" And what happens when God turns around to you and says to you, "This person you're praying for has got a demon"? What are you going to do? Are you going to say, "Well, no, thank you, Lord, I don't get involved in that sort of thing"? Or are you going to say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of them"? Because when you do, in this modern scientific medical age, you will have opposition if you do that. And like Paul and Silas, it may be that some of us will end up in jail. But you know, when we end up in jail, God sends an earthquake. God sends an earthquake and He sets us free. Whose side are we on? And who is on our side? We are on the Lord's side. That was the question that was asked in the Old Testament of Moses and the people of Israel. Asked, "Whose side are you on?" "The Lord's, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And it takes, my brothers and sisters, it'll take every ounce of faith you have to hear what God is saying to you and to be obedient. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to please Him? Amen. You want to please God? "Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come to Him must know that He is. Must know that He exists. And that He rewards those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek after the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your soul. And as your faith begins to be increased, as your faith begins to rise, and you begin to hear what God is saying to you, you will begin to know that God has got plans and purposes for not only for us as a church, but for you as an individual. Hear what God is saying to you in these days. What I believe this coming week, I'm going to throw you out a challenge, brothers and sisters. I believe it's of God. This coming week, I want you to give yourself to prayer. Because I believe God wants to speak to you as an individual. And when you get before him in prayer, ask him, Lord, what do you want to say to me now? Not what did you say to me 10 years ago? Not what did you say to me 20 years ago? What do you want to say to me now? Because we are in a very, very special time in the economy of God. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And he is preparing his bride. And he's preparing this world ready for his coming. And he wants us individually to be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? Are you listening to his voice? Are you listening to what he wants to speak? I believe he wants to speak to you individually. God will speak to you this week if you seek him. If you seek him this week, you will hear him. I believe it, thus saith the Lord. If you seek him this week and listen for him, he will speak to you. And it will make a change, incredible change, in your experience and your walk with him. For God is going to open up the doors of this place. He's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we cannot contain. But we need to know that what we're hearing is God. We need to hear him. We need to recognize his voice. And we need to obey him and follow after him. Because, listen, brothers and sisters, do you hear it? Do you hear it? It's the sound of coming rain. It's the sound of coming rain. Hallelujah. Amen.